Well, I've been reading through the book of Acts recently. I do that often. I like to read the book of Acts because it's about us. It's about our lineage. It's about our people. You know, we talk about our families, our people. Well, these are our people, and they set the standard for us, for the church today. And we are moving in the direction to surpass them. We're not in any kind of competition, but that's just God's plan, progression to move forward. And so we should take the foundation that they've laid and build upon that. So I was reading some verses in Acts 22. If you have your Bibles, why don't you turn there? Acts chapter 22. And I'll start reading in verse 22. And this is a story where Paul has got himself in some trouble, as usual. Stirred up some things in the temple and is being beaten again. and then the Romans come and rescue him. And then as they're hauling him off, then he has some more words for the Jews and they try to kill him again. And so we'll pick up the story here with the Romans hauling him off to protect him and save him from danger. And they listened to him until this word, and then they raised their voices and said, "Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he is not fit to live." Then as they cried out and tore off their clothes, I mean, these Jewish people, they were very interesting people, tore off their clothes, threw dust in the air. The commander ordered him to be brought into the barracks and said that he should be examined under scourging. That's always exciting. Now, this kind of scourging is... you know, they want to get information from them, but many times they would kill the person. And many times, you know, the Romans, they just really enjoyed torturing people. And so this was the plan for Paul, that he might know why they shouted so against him. And they bound him with thongs or leather straps. Paul said to the centurion who stood by, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned?" When the centurion heard that, he went and told the commander, saying, "Take care what you do, for this man is a Roman." Then the commander came and said to him, "Tell me, are you a Roman?" He said, "Yes." The commander answered, "With a large sum I obtained this citizenship." You could buy Roman citizenship for, you know, a large amount of money. And obviously this soldier did that. And Paul said to him, "I was born a citizen." In New King James, it says, "I was freeborn." Then immediately those who were about to examine him withdrew for him, and the commander, who was also afraid after he found out that he was a Roman and because he had bound him. Why were they afraid? They were afraid that if they had tortured Paul, they could then be tortured. Whatever they did to Paul, they could then, because he's a Roman citizen, he's got rights, he's got privileges, they could then do the same thing to him, to them, probably kill them. So they were in fear. And Paul wisely, you know, took this opportunity to you know, say, "I am a Roman." He chose to say, "This is one of my benefits, one of my privileges for a trial. You can't do this to me." And so being a Roman meant something. Being a Roman citizen meant something at that time. They had rights and privileges. Now, we live in a country and in the United States that was, you know, a lot of it was based on Rome. And when the founding fathers wrote the Constitution and it was about to be ratified in 1787, there was a lot of fuss made from the states that there wasn't enough in there for the rights of and privileges of the American citizen. And so, you know, many of the states ratified it, but with the condition that they would come up with a Bill of Rights later, in which they did several years later. And so they did. They came up with the Bill of Rights. And what are the Bill of Rights? Bill of Rights are rights and privileges for American citizens. You should know these. I mean, you've had history class. You could name them just as well as I can. What are some of them? Freedom of religion. We're here right now, right? Freedom of religion. Freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of assembly, the right to bear arms. A lot of conversation about that in Georgia. The right to equal justice, the right to private property. And then one of the amendments was about other freedoms, to live and to travel within the nation and abroad, to work a job that you're qualified, freedom to marry and raise a family, freedom to a free education, freedom to be a part of a political party. You know, there's just a lot of rights and freedoms that we have as American citizens. You look up the word citizen, it means a legally recognized subject or national of a state or commonwealth. And note the word legal. We have legal rights to things as Americans or whatever country that you're from. You have legal rights. And one thing we don't talk about a whole lot is there's a legal side to the plan of redemption. There's a legal side to the gospel. And we need to understand that today, because it has everything to do with how we're going to live this Christian life. And we have to understand there was a contract between God, the devil, and man. And so when God placed Adam in the garden, he gave man authority. He gave man rights and privileges, including the right to transfer the authority and his power to someone else. A legal right to do that. Now, Satan came in, of course, and tempted, and he was conniving, but he was able, and Adam gave it to him. Adam submitted himself, but it was a legal transaction. It wasn't illegal. Otherwise, God could have stopped it. And so man, and God knew this before the foundation of the world. He gave man a free will. He knew it was going to happen. He set up the plan of redemption before he even created man. But he gave us the free will. And so the old covenant, if you read it through, it's beautiful, the whole of the scriptures. But the old covenant points to a Messiah, to a Redeemer, to the man that was going to come and change things that happened in the garden. And the Gospels tell us about that man. And then we got the Acts and the Epistles and the rest of the New Testament that point back to Jesus, point back to what the church has because of what Jesus did. And again, the plan of redemption is so brilliant. I mean, we could stand here for days and talk about it. But in a nutshell, God had to send someone who wasn't in the world system, someone that was sinless, someone that wasn't born in this system, and thus you have the virgin birth, and someone that came and lived a sinless life and met all the demands of the court, you know, of the universe for justice. And then he lived. He came to show us what God was like. He came to show us what a man filled with God was like. He came to show us what his body would be like. Then he was tortured. He went to the cross. He bore on his body sin, sickness, poverty, spiritual death, all the earmarks of the devil, bore it on his body, took it and descended into hell, received the judgment of God. And then when he met the demands of heaven, then he defeated Satan in hell, stripped him of all his authority. And then he rose in triumph on the third day. And he was here for a little while, encouraging the troops, helping them out. And then he ascended into heaven, and now he's seated at the right hand of the Father in a place of victory. He paid the price for redemption. He bought us back. Turned around, and that's probably, you know, not the right words, but turned around what Adam gave to Satan. Gave man back authority. And, you know, and so when we make Jesus the Lord of our lives, Romans 10 says it's, you know, pretty easy. There's a lot more to it, but believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Believe in your heart that Jesus paid the price. Believe in your heart that God, that Jesus, you know, redeemed us. Confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and the Bible says you'll be saved. The Bible says then you're born again. The Bible says then you're born into the family of God. You're made a son and daughter of God, and you now become a citizen of heaven. You now become a citizen of heaven with all the rights and privileges that go with it. And I have news for you today. There's rights and privileges right now on the earth. You don't have to wait till heaven to walk in the benefits. Sinners, which I know, I mean, I was one. I know all about it. I had a legal right to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but God didn't make me do it. I had to be willing. Now let's look over in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, verse 19, Paul's writing this to the church of Ephesus. And this is really a word for us here today, these scriptures I'm about to read. I mean, we're a church about empowerment. We're about people walking in their privileges. But you know, there's many in the church today, they're not living in their privileges. They're not walking in victory. They're not walking in their authority. And so the church today, in many places, including Augusta, Georgia, is weak and powerless. But that should not be our testimony here at Good News Church. Ephesians 2 verse 19 says, "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners." We're no longer on the outside looking in. We're no longer looking at people in the inner circle. You ever been in a situation where you weren't in the inner circle? How does it feel? You feel like they're getting benefits, they're getting privileges, they're better because they're in the group. And I think many in the church feel that. I think many in the church feel that there's like they're special people. There's certain anointed ones, certain gifted ones, or certain people that have more rights and privileges than others, and they kind of feel like I'm on the outside looking in while they're enjoying all the benefits. I'm getting my brains beat out by the devil. But it says, "Therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens." Turn to your neighbor and say, "Hey, fellow citizen." "But fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." Now, we're talking more about the legal side, but you get into the household of God, talk about family. I mean, you're getting in a whole other thing. It's good. having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. We are no longer foreigners. We're no longer strangers, but we are full members of the family of God. We are today citizens of heaven, and we have legal rights. We have a legal right to eternal life. We have a legal right to the abundant life. We have a legal right to a life overflowing with good things. We have a legal right to victory over sin. We have a legal right to victory over the devil. You don't need to live in sin. Jesus paid the price. You don't need to live in bondage. And anything that the devil is doing, stealing, killing, and destroying. And see, this is the thing about the devil, is he's stupid. The devil is stupid. And he still thinks he can defeat God. So he's going to try. And but the thing about it is a lot of believers, they fall for it. They fall for his lies. They don't really know their rights and privileges. And they don't know their authority. Very few in the church know their authority. See, they're waiting on God to do something about it. They're waiting on God to change things. Oh, when you know, it's kind of like the Jews waiting for the Messiah. One day, it's going to be better. One day, things are going to change. Putting off into the future what God wants to do right now. We have a legal right to heaven as our home. We have a legal right to the name of Jesus. We can use the name of Jesus. And when we use the name of Jesus, it's just like Jesus himself is there making a command, making a demand, making an order. We can speak for him. We have a legal right to the Father's protection and care. We have a legal right to the rights and privileges as sons and daughters. We are sons and daughters of God. We have a legal right to our inheritance in Christ. I mean, that's a whole 15 messages. Do you know who you are? Did you know that you're in Christ? You have his wisdom. You have his mind. You've been made righteous. Oh, my goodness. We have a legal right to the baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues. You know, and all this controversy about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Come on, people. It's in the Word. The people in the book of Acts, they're supposed to have things that we don't have. Come on. And we're a good news church, so I can talk about it. And you can get mad or offended or whatever else. But hey, I speak in tongues. You want to hear me? I spoke in tongues last night when I was praying. I spoke in tongues this morning when I was praying. I spoke in tongues while I've been here. I'm not ashamed of it. I speak another language that I don't understand. I know it's weird, but I'm not ashamed of it. I've got a legal right to do it. So after saying all that, now let's look at Hebrews 4, verse 16. Hebrews 4, verse 16. And this is a problem I'm about to talk about. This is a problem we have at Good News Church. This is a problem we have in a lot of churches. This is a problem that we have in the body of Christ. Because we don't know who we are. We don't know we're citizens of heaven. We don't know our rights and privileges. So we live in weakness. We live in defeat. We let the enemy run all over us. And we don't realize Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let us then fearlessly and confidently, amplified, and boldly draw near to the throne of grace. The throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures, find grace to help in good time for every need, appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it. The Bible says you're seated in heavenly places in Christ. The Bible says that you're blessed with all spiritual blessings. You belong in the throne room. You belong in God's presence. And God thinks so much that you belong in His presence. He's filled you with the Holy Spirit. Himself has come to live on the inside of you. You're looking at someone that God lives in me. The creator of the universe, the one that said light be and light was,
that's right.
Yeah. Is in me.
Yep.
So we don't come to God as beggars. Now, how would you like it if, you know, Harry's sitting over here, it's dinner time at our household. And I'm, you know, my office is right by the front door at home, and I hear this knock on the door, and I go open the door, and Harry's there. He falls on his knees. Oh, please, please, let me have something to eat. I'm so hungry. I've been in the pool for hours, and I've been just swimming and swimming, and I am hungry. Please, oh great one. Please, may I just have a morsel from your table? Oh my God. This is the way the church is. Trying to shake the leg of God. Shake some coins out of his pocket. Trying to make something happen. If we'd only pray enough. If we'd only fast enough. If we'd only praise enough. Bunch of beggars. I mean, Harry walks around like he owns the place. Now, I'm going to tell on him, and it's okay because I'm not mad about it. A lot of times, Harry will just eat his food and just leave his plate right at the table. He expects me or Susie to get his plate and wash it and put it in the dishwasher. Now, every once in a while, I correct him, but I mean, who does he think he is? Walking around, going in the refrigerator, getting out food, sleeping in our bed, wearing clothes we bought for him, going off to college and expecting me to pay for him. Who does Harry think he is? He knows who he is. He knows he's Harry Judd. You know, he knows he's got rights and privileges at our home. He doesn't need to knock on the door and beg to eat.
That's right. Hallelujah. Yes. That's true.
I don't go to the voting booth and then, you know, fall at the you know, as I come in the door and just start screaming and wailing and please let me vote. I have a right to vote.
Yes.
It's one of my rights and privileges. You've got, and so, you know, we talk about empowerment. Empowerment is not me doing it for you. And that's kind of the mentality of the church. You've got the clergy and you've got the lowly lay people who can't do anything for themselves. And so the clergy have to do everything. And this is the mentality. This goes back to the early church. And we're trying to break out of that mode, and that's difficult to do because, frankly, people don't want to be empowered. Frankly, people would rather have someone else do the praying. But what we're trying to say, we're trying to empower you to give life. Empowerment is helping you to know your rights and privileges and how to skillfully tap into those privileges and use it. And then we go even a step further. We use them for others. Not only do we use them for ourselves, but we use them to help other people too. We help get them free. Maybe they're new to it. Maybe they need some help. Maybe they need a helping hand. Well, we're there to help them until they get empowered. Every day you should say, I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. Every day you should say, you're in the family of God. I've got rights and privileges. And again, Satan is so stupid, he's going to test this. He's going to do everything he can test God. He's going to do everything he can to test you. He doesn't know that he's already been defeated. He's been stripped of all his authority. He thinks he can still win. And so he's done a good job of it. He's come into the church. And in most churches, it's greater is the devil than God in me. We're just here to kind of just live and not make any waves. We don't want to upset the devil, so we're just not going to make any waves, and we're kind of do our little thing and not cause any kind of disturbance. You know, Paul didn't believe that. Paul's about, you know, killed every other child, you know, almost stoned, beaten every other. I mean, he's fearless, man. And we're so afraid. We live in such fear. And again, and so there's confusion. We're waiting on God to do what he's already done. We're waiting on God to do something in our lives that he did 2,000 years ago. And he's now waiting on us to walk in the victory that Jesus won then. The body of Christ, God can't do anything in this earth without his body. He can't bring healing. He can't bring provision. He can't. How can they hear without a preacher? He, and I don't understand it all, but he's chose to use his body. Yeah. And so we're the ones that are to enforce the covenant. If we don't act, God's hands are paralyzed. You don't realize the authority you've been given. And I will help anybody out. I will stand with people in the midnight hour. I will, you know, be patient with people. But I tell you, you know, it's our responsibility to grow. It's our responsibility to come. And at first, you know, I understand. I mean, you're just a baby. And you need people to spoon feed you. But with some people, it's just like they've been at it for years and they don't get anywhere. They just at it for years and they still have that mentality. I'm waiting on God to do something when he's given you the authority. He's given you the authority to deal with the devil. Now let's just say I had, you know, another person knock on my door. And he's got guns, and he wants to come in and take my food. Now what do I do? Well, I'm you know, because I'm such a, you know, fierce guy, I'm going to fight him. But then I'm going to go get Smith & Wesson. My friend Smith & Wesson. And I'm going to get Smith & Wesson. And you ain't coming in my house to steal my food. I'll give it to you, but you ain't stealing it. And so do you think I'm just going to sit there and just smile and just say, hey, come on in. Take my family. Take my goods. Take my food. Sit down in my big recliner chair and watch TV and I'll serve you. I'm going to put up a fight. Where's the fight in the church? Where's the fight in the church? Where's the people that know their authority? Where's the people that are going to take, that are just tired of the devil coming into our marriages, coming into our finances, coming into our homes, in our churches, in our schools, in our city? Who's going to stand up for God? Who's going to... I need, Harry, can you come fan me? You owe me, buddy. I got it. I'm good. Turn over to Mark 16. We got to claim our rights. We got to know our rights. We got to claim them. We got a legal right to it. We've got rights and privileges. We got to stop being, putting up with stuff. We got to start realizing that God's given us the authority in our world. If you're a student at a school, you've got authority. Now you may not can't change the whole thing to make it a Christian school, but you've got rights and authority there in that school. You work in a business, even if it's an ungodly boss, because you're there and you're an employee, you've got rights and privileges. You can change things. Go back and read about Joseph. He wasn't even under the new covenant. And look at the influence he had on the government of Egypt because of favor. You've got rights and privileges in your neighborhood. We've got rights and privileges in this city. Hey, instead of starting complaining, because you just, see, the devil wants you to get over into political parties and get over into the national things and start complaining about the government and all the different things. Why don't you start using your mouth and taking the word and loading your weapon full of faith? And why don't you start pronouncing some things over the government and stop complaining? Because your complaining is just making it worse. Because you're complaining, this is good, but you don't want to hear it. This complaining is making the problem bigger in your life. And that's why, why it's not good to go, and everybody you talk to, you go ahead and tell them your problem. I know people to do that. And it's okay to get it off your chest. And it's okay to talk to a faith person. But to every person, I mean, they just wear their problems on their sleeve. And every time you give glory to that problem, you are magnifying it in your life. You're building a mountain that's going to take a miracle to overcome it. Because God, I don't understand why he didn't just make us robots. Wouldn't it be better if we were just all robots? But I don't understand why he gave us this free will. But he's given us authority. And we got to let's look at Mark 16. I'm going to read this from the Message translation. I want you to claim your rights. I want you to start praying. I want you to start taking the word of God on purpose and put it in your heart and have it coming out your mouth. I want you to stop putting up with stuff. I want you to stop putting up with stuff, little things in your body that aren't right. I want you to stop putting up with things in your finances. I want you to stop putting up things in your marriage. I want you to stop putting up with, just living a comfortable life. I mean, I'm praying for you that you'll start getting bold. I'm praying that you'll start getting to be fearless. I'm praying that you're going to be one of those empowered ones, that you'll start changing things instead of adding to the problems. We can bring change. I'm not saying it's easy. But you know what's the beauty about being a citizen of heaven? I can go to another country and be a citizen of heaven there. We have people, you're more comfortable being an American than you are being a Christian. I don't see you going to the Constitution every day, reading about your rights and privileges. You just walk in them. I feel comfortable driving on the roads. Yeah, I don't know about that, but anyway. proud to be an American. But I tell you, there's a whole lot of problems, I'm not getting into it, about our country. But there ain't a lot of problems in God's country. Because He is faithful, who promised, He does not speak with forked tongue. If He says it in the Word, you can take it to the bank. How y'all doing today? How's my Hawaiian shirt doing? Mark 16, verse 15, message. Then He said, go into all the world, go everywhere and announce the message of God's good news to one and for all. Whoever believes, this is the key, believing. Do we have any believers in the house? Whoever believes and is baptized and saved, whoever refuses to believe is damned. These are some of the signs that will accompany believers. You're a believer, raise your hand. So I'm talking to you, right? These are some of the signs that will accompany believers. That means this will accompany you. He's talking about you. And see, when I'm reading the Bible, I'm always looking to see where I fit. I'm not just reading some stories and some historical account. I see myself in there. I see myself doing the stuff. I see myself as an ambassador for Christ. I see myself as a minister of reconciliation. I see myself as a son of God. I see myself that when I pray and when I speak, God listens. And if He listens, He hears me. And I believe that God responds to my request. Am I special? It's not because I'm a pastor. It's not because I'm a leader in the body of Christ. It's not because I travel to other countries. It's not because I have all these different giftings. It's because I am a believer. And I know my rights and privileges. I am a son of God. And I have a right to go boldly to the throne and ask God for stuff. And He doesn't reject me. He doesn't boot me out. But then, you know, it gets more exciting when I go boldly to the throne and I ask for you. Praying for other people. Spend very little time on my own needs now when I'm praying. Most of my prayers are for the body of Christ and for the church and for my family and for others. My things are just taken care of. These are some of the signs that will accompany believers. They will throw out demons. And maybe I'll just stop there. You gotta throw out demons. You gotta stop putting up with demons. Now demons represent the devil. They work for him, but demons represent evil. They represent the will of Satan. They represent poverty and sickness. And they represent killing, stealing, and destroying. And God's given you authority that He won. Jesus won 2,000 years ago. He's given you the authority with your words. Now, I'm not saying to go into Kroger today and start casting out devils. If God's leading you to do that, I mean, that's okay. I may back you up. I don't know. We'll just see what happens. But I don't have to go to the highest building in Augusta to pray about this city. And I don't have to go to the highest building and then shout as loud as I can. I can whisper. And the devil's got to obey. Did you hear that name?
That's right. Yeah.
Yes. He's got to do it.
That's right.
But sometimes you've got to get mad though because you've been putting up with a lot of stuff. You've been putting up with a lot of stuff that's not from God. And you've been getting kind of, you know, a little weird. Maybe you're weary. I understand that. Or maybe you're ignorant. I understand that. But putting up a lot of things, and then maybe like after a message like today, maybe you need to get mad. And if it helps you to shout, go ahead and shout. In the name of Jesus, take your hands off Nate and Kristen, their beautiful little family. Take your filthy, rotten, stinking paws, greasy, cockroach-ridden hands. And not only take, and I want you to get, and I don't want you to come back again in the name of Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, my goodness. Let's stand for a moment. If you've been putting up with some stuff today, And if you want to shout, you can. If you want to go to the highest place in this room, you can. But if you're fed up with some things, maybe some things were exposed today, I want you to take your authority. And you do it however you want. If you want to whisper it. But don't do the, you know, the silent prayer, the moment of silence. What happens in the moment of silence? Nothing. All right, we're going to close today, the service. And again, if you have the moment, go ahead and have your moment of silence. But let me just ask you, we're here at Good News Church. If I made it in the service, we are now going to have a moment of silence. I'm trying to get you to open your mouth. Faith is released with your words. Faith has a voice, authority. Jesus said, go. So let's just take a moment and you, whatever you feel led, I'll back you up, maybe. And if you're fed up with some things, I want you to go ahead and speak to them right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I declare in the name of Jesus over this congregation and this church and our services, I declare that we have mighty works here. I declare that we have mighty works. I declare that we have signs and wonders and miracles that follow believers. And I believe every time we get together, things happen. Every time we get together, they're all saved. They're all healed. They're all delivered. And Father, I'm tired of people coming in here being oppressed in their mind and not walking out free. I'm believing that all forms of oppression and depression, that when they come in here for service and time to come together, that they'll be set free in the name of Jesus. And they don't have to wait until they come here. But if they do, and they have it in this place, they'll walk out of here changed. And this is not a church that's just getting by. This is not a church of people just being comfortable. This is not a church of people that are not stirred up. And Lord, I'm asking and declaring that this is the church that we look out for each other. This is the church that we mentor each other and care for each other. And if the devil has gotten into this ministry in any way, I take my place of authority and I cast you out in the name of Jesus. Your strife, your confusion, your lazy spirit, you've got to go in the name of Jesus. If we're not putting up with lack around here, we're not putting up with getting by. Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Stir up your people. Stir up this church. Stir up the members. Stir them up. Stir them up. Stir them up. Lord, they may walk in their authority. Oh, Lord, thank you for boldness. Boldness. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Now we need to give Him some praise. Let's give Him some thanks.
The enemy's been defeated, and death couldn't hold you down. We're going to lift our voice in victory. We're going to make your praises loud. The enemy's been defeated, and death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. The enemy's been defeated, and death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. The enemy's been defeated, and death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus. The enemy's been defeated, and death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. The enemy's been defeated, and death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. We lift you up, Lord. We got the victory today. Hallelujah. 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 We got the victory today. Yes, Lord. Victory is ours. Victory is ours, Lord. Glory to your name. The enemy's been defeated. The enemy's been defeated. exercise our authority this morning. Take your hands off in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, go! In Jesus' name. Pain, sickness, disease, depression, leave in the name of Jesus. Oh, we got victory today. Victory in our families, victory in our houses, victory in this church, victory on our jobs, victory in our finances. We've got victory today. There's no lack, no lack in the name of Jesus. But we got the victory. Oh, shout hallelujah! Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. We lift your name up. 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 We exalt you, Lord. Make you big in our lives. We don't exalt the problems. We exalt the provider. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We exalt you. We lift you up, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Shout for the victory. Shout if you've been set free. Shout for the victory. Shout if you've been set free. Yeah! Shout for the victory. Shout if you've been set free. Shout for the victory. Yeah! Shout if you've been set free. Yeah! Oh, we shout unto God. Shout unto God, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your name up, Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. No lack, for you supply all of our need. According to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Satisfied to get by. We're not satisfied with getting by. We think you've put us over. You've put us over. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So we'll give you glory. We'll give you praise. We'll testify of your goodness. Testify of your goodness and your grace, Lord. Hallelujah. We are overcomers. We are overcomers. We are overcomers in the name of Jesus. Oh, this is the victory that's overcome the world. Our faith. Hallelujah. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. Oh, we lift your name up. Lift your name up, Jesus. Lift you up, Lord. Lift you up, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah to your name. Hallelujah to your name. Jesus, 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 Jesus. The enemy's been defeated, and death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. The enemy's been defeated, and death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. Make your praises loud. Magnify you. Magnify you.
Hallelujah. 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 There's
there's some folks here this morning that you've heard what we heard today. It reminded you, brought some things back to you. It's not the first time.